We're on page 6, the left-hand column, beginning with the word Nimsa Shekesha Adam Yodeya. We began last week learning a newer and different way of working on ourselves, growing, and we applied it to the Midah of Kina, of how it's possible for a person to avoid having to get into the entire Shakla Vitarya, the dialogue with that negative, ugly trait of Kina, by writing over it. How does one write over it? By connecting to that absolute truth of Hashem being the Makor HaBracha, the source of Bracha. And when a person believes that Hashem is the Makor HaBracha, and that Hashem's Brachas are Ad Bli Dai, are infinite, then the whole Parsha of Kina never gets started. There's no inyan of Kina. Kina doesn't exist in the world of Hashem. And to the degree that a person lives in that world where he believes in Hashem as the Makor HaBracha, it's ridiculous to think that what that person has is somehow in my cheshbon. Like the example that we learned last week of nobody would ever be concerned if you saw somebody walking out of a full bakery with a loaf of bread to think that's my loaf of bread. The bakery is a Makor HaBracha. It's filled with bread. So that's not my loaf of bread. It's a Makor HaBracha. Infinitely more so Hashem is the Makor HaBracha. So this is the way of not dealing with Nekama, but being able with Kina, but being able to ignore the whole issue of Kina when a person is a Neshamitic person who lives in that world of the Neshama in which there's no limit to what Hashem has and to what Hashem gives us. And each person's bracha is his bracha, which is Ad Bli Dai. Nimsa, so on page 6, the left-hand column. Nimsa, shekisha adam yodeh davazeh. When a person knows this, obviously knowing it is not enough. When a person thinks about this and gets into the habit of thinking this way, there's no place for kinna in that way of thinking. There's no place for jealousy in that world. And even though you don't feel that initially, in other words, you still feel that tinge of envy and you're trying to work with it, In the mahalach that we've always used, which is different strategies to try to contend with jealousy, even though one doesn't feel this at the beginning, but over time a person is zeicha to really feel this. Ki makor habracha hu davar yesh v'nimtza. We have to get used to thinking that way, that Hashem as the makor habracha is not a concept, it's not an idea, it's not a hashkafa. It's the Mitzvah, that Hashem is the Makor HaBracha and is Yesh V'Nimsa. If it exists, Hashem exists and He's the Makor HaBracha. If I close myself to that Makor HaBracha through jealousy, then I am not gaining, not only am I not gaining by being jealous, but I am cutting myself off, Chalila, from the Makor HaBracha and I'm distancing myself from Bracha. If a person wants, if a person thinks about this, Hashem will help each and every one of us to feel this truth, that He's the Makor HaBracha. And we won't be troubled anymore by feelings of jealousy. That's the Neshamadik Hergish, remember? Kina, jealousy, is only from the world of the guf. In the world of the guf, there's a certain amount. There are 50 seats in the room. That guy took the last seat. You're stuck. In the world of the guf, there are boundaries and limitations. In the world of the neshama, which is the Makor HaBracha, it's Vahari Koresh Lecham Bracha Ad Bli Dai. There's no Shia. V'zeo Hergish HaNishmasi HaYotze Masalikis Midas HaKina Me'ikaro. That completely removes any possibility of even coming to Kina. Kina can't get started. Vein ha'perish v'zeh she'tzarech lavayt al midas ha'kina. And the tzaddik here, Ramatl, saying, the point here is not how do we work on the midah of kinna. That's not the point, how do we work on the midah of kinna. Of course, all of that's important. But that's only b'de'evit. That's only in an emergency. But to work on the midah of kinna. What he's saying is, ki ba'olam ha'na'la hazeh, if a person enters into that higher world, that way of looking at life and that way of thinking, ein klal esa inyan shel kinna. You're not waging a war with kinna because kinna doesn't exist in that world. So we've learned that there are two ways that one can deal with kinna. One is in the world of kinna, fighting with jealousy, using anti-jealousy strategies to fight off kinna. In other words, you already allowed kinna to become part of your life, and you're in this struggle with kinna, and there are techniques of how to deal with kinna. But then you're already in the world of kinna, and in the gvulim, kinna jealousy is a dimension of life in which there are gvulim, there are boundaries, there are borders, there are limitations. Where does kinna come from? Kinna comes from that feeling that it's on my cheshbon. That whole way of thinking comes from boundaries, from gvulim. Ach yichol, that's one mahalach. Ach yicholim gam leheosos ish neshama. The second method is the way of becoming an ish neshama, which we're going to be talking a lot more about, and give some other examples with kaas and gaiva. Ubezeh yoytzim ma'olam sheyesh b'kina. When a person tries to become an ish nisham, a nishamadika person, then you're leaving the entire place, that entire world of kinna. B'zei yaitzim ha'ilam sheyesh by kinna, la'olam gavoa yoser, to a place that's a higher way of thinking, a higher way of living. Shbo ein chayk ha'kinna nayig. And in that world, which is ein saif, which is the world of the Makar Bracha, there's no chok of kinna, there's no law of kinna, meaning that there's no existence, there's no meaning to kinna. Kinna only exists in a world of limitations, in a finite, limited, miserable, tiny, pathetic world. That's the world of kinna. Ubay ein shayach kinna klal. In the world of the neshama, it's not shayach kinna at all. The next page. 7. V'chein hu b'chol ha-midas. We can use two ways when it comes to all midas. With all the avoid of midas, there are these two ways. V'ninkait oy dugma b'zev midas ha-kaas. Let's take another example with the midah of anger, of kaas. Shiyidua shalpi kabola kaas hu adova ha-garu b'yoyseh. According to the Arizal, according to the Mekubalim, the most damaging of all the midas is anger, is kaas. It's the most damaging and it's the most difficult when using the strategies of anti-kaas. Kaas is the most difficult mida to deal with. And according to Allah, but according to the Mekubalim in particular, anger is a terrible issa. It's a terrible, terrible failure on the part of a person. And mamish kachilas nevelas atreifas. It's mamish like eating treif. Not in halacha, it doesn't have the same, it's not in the same category, it's different. But in terms of how the swarm understand the negative kaichas of kaas, it's like achilas nevelas atreifas. Well, b'zor kodesh, the Zohar Kodesh brings the pasuk in Iyov, which says "Tareif nafshei ba'apo," that a person in his anger is destroying, is murdering his own soul. Tareif nafshei. Others we know for sure, but his own. Shechem la'abed is on the neshama yidekaz. You could have a person who normally is wonderful, is kind, intelligent, and so on. And at a moment of anger, he's mamish He loses himself entirely. It's not the same person. V'udaven noira, she'cholim la'avayt, u'les alayz, v'liknes nefesh v'ruch neshama. A person can work many, many years to rise higher and higher and to acquire levels of nefesh, of ruach neshama, in other words, to cover ground in ruchnias. U'v'kas echad, and one moment, he can lose his temper, y'cholim la'avayt hakol. He can lose everything in that one moment. All that he's worked so hard for many, many years to achieve. And afterwards, even though he begins to work to regain what he's lost, he finds it much more difficult after that explosion of anger. Once some madregas have left you in Ruchnias, it's not so posh to get it back. Anger does that. Anger destroys. And we find, therefore, in the prescriptions, in the teachings of the Arizal, of what we do about certain aveiros, what are the tikkunim to repair aveiros, as far as fasting is concerned. We don't engage in this now. We're not at a time where fasting is more than the necessary fast days is going to accomplish anything. But we find that in the tikkunim of the Arizal, hatayniyos harabim b'yoseh hem alakaz. For every aveira, the Arizal, we have from the Arizal how many fast days the person should take upon himself in order to repair the damage of that particular aveira. When it comes to kas, when it comes to anger, the Arizal's prescription has more fast days than any other aveira in the Torah. In other words, a person loses his temper. The Natani Saram B'Yoyse Hei Malakas. There are more fast days for kas than other aveiras. Shetzarech Lis Anis Al Kas Kufnun Aleph Taneisen. The Arizal says that when a person loses his temper even once, then he has to take upon himself 151 fast days for one loss of temper. So that's enough to get you angry, just to read something like that. We're not in a madrega like this, and the Baltani wrote in the Geset Shuva, we're not holding by these things. But to get an idea of how serious it is. And we find that the Sifrei Kabbalah talk a lot about the ugliness and the damage that is caused by kas, by anger. Now, it's very hard to work on the midah of kas. Very hard. All of life. Depending upon the teva of that person. For some people, that's very comes easily because they don't have such a temperament. For a person who by nature has that chamimus, that fire of kas, it's very, very hard. Remember we learned, Seichel HaPashit dictates that to an intelligent, normal person, when we think about it, we know that Kas only brings Churban. It doesn't help. When it comes to raising children, losing one's temper, although you might terrify the children into obeying you for that moment, everybody knows that that never accomplishes anything real, anything long term. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to teaching and so on, the churban is very, very obvious, the churban of kas. Hu churban ha'olam. Kas oisa churbanos babayis. Anger brings destruction to the home. Ki yaduah k'shemis askin b'chinach ha'ilodim. Anybody who's involved in educating children, the first thing that you look into, the first thing that comes to mind as a possible cause for a child who is not growing up in a healthy way, that there appears in that child's life signs of something that's not right to one degree or another, the first thing that is looked into to find out, is this a house of kas? Is it a house? It doesn't only mean if the child is subjected to the anger of parents. could be that the child is growing up in a house where the parents are angry at each other, or angry at their parents, and angry at God, whatever it is, angry people. Children are most deeply affected by anger. It causes the greatest damage. So therefore, the first thing to look into is this a house of kaz? Ki kaz machriv kol davar tov. Seichel, we know that. Everybody knows that. The kaz is machriv kol davar tov. Kaz destroys everything that we work so hard to have in this world. B'chinuch, with teaching, with educating our children. B'shalom bayis. When a person gets angry, he does things that are strange, that are odd, that are out of character. Chazal say, lo yeh b'cha el zar. It's like a foreign god takes over, a stranger. A person, after he loses his temper, will usually say something like, I'm sorry, it wasn't me. And it wasn't, as far as the normal person that we care for and that we love, the angry person is out of character. But it is him, unfortunately. It's a side of that person that destroys all that is good in him. And he says things to his family, to his children, that he should never say. It says, Mrs. Sham Alakois, Ben Ishkazek Kedai Lahakiv Oilamole, Im Yechelus Biodo, that at the time when the person is losing his temper, if he were able to, he would destroy the whole world. He would, at that moment of the height of anger, at that moment, the person is so dangerous that he could destroy the whole world. Kedai Lahakiv Oilamole, Im Yechelus Biodo. If he would be able to, he would destroy the whole world. Because at that moment of anger, seichel is not shaylet at all. What the rational, the intelligent, has no place at that moment. No control. He becomes like an animal, like a wild beast. We know that was seichel, and that's a simple strategy. If a person would see a picture of himself, a film of how he or she looked at that time of anger, and to think about, and to read about, and to study the effects of anger upon other people and upon oneself, even one's health, and so on. So that would certainly contribute to helping this person deal with kaz. And therefore we have many svarim. There are many wonderful svarim written in Hebrew and in English on the subject of kaz and how to deal with kaz, how to control anger. Shamati pa me'ezer Rav Yushalayim. As I heard once from a Rav Yushalayim, This Rav is close to the Chibin Rav. Shagon mitchibin omaloi pam oides echad mikroivav shahi rabbi. The Chibin Rav was talking about a certain friend of his that was a rabbi. Shami oz mitomid hayi mispale olav lom eno matzliach. The Chibin Rav said he never understood why that rabbi is not matzliach. Why he wasn't matzliach. Af echad in a boy love, he doesn't have chassidim. People don't come to him. Vein lahashpa al bnei adam, and he doesn't seem to have hashpa in proportion to his kishrinus. Is obviously, as the Chibinim have said, every yeshlo is a kishrinus, but a kelim la'er bnei adam. He's a talmid chacham, and he's probably charismatic, and he has kaiches and kishrinus. And the Chibinim have said, I never understood why people don't come to him. He doesn't seem to have an impact upon people in any way that's in proportion to the koiches that he has, this rabbi. V'u'ish tzadik b'maisav. And the Chibin Rav said, he's a tzadik. This rabbi's a tzadik. V'u'ish tzadik b'maisav. The Chibin Rav sees that this person, this rabbi, lives a life of tzidkis. utfilosai in the way that he davens, his nahagusai hem yuchadim b'yaisa, and his behavior and his whole way of davening and everything is very, very great. Shibnerov says he never understood why this rabbi is not matzliach. Shabinov said that one time he was by him. And he saw that Rebbe lose his temper. He saw how that Rebbe, that tzaddik, how he lost himself. And Shabinov says, then I understood why he's not matzliach. That doesn't mean that other people saw him losing his temper, but it took away from him his hatzlacha. Kas is a churban. I think I might have once mentioned a few summers ago, I don't remember, but I was once years ago in Farakka, I was sitting by Shlomo Feifeld, Zechasai Lavracha. Now, he was talking about a certain pasuk in Mishnah, but I don't remember the pasuk, but I remember he told how, he remembered that when Chaim Berlin was still, I guess it was in East New York, I don't know, somewhere. Before it went to, I think it was in East New York. So when Chaim Berlin was still there, so he said that there was in the yeshiva an older man, there was a big Talmud Chacham. He didn't have any children. Big Talmud Chacham. You can ask him any place, anywhere in Shas. He knew. Everywhere in Shas. And Reb Shlomo said that he always felt bad. He him and his rabbitson, they didn't have a family, and he didn't see that people, besides talking to this Talmud Chacham and learning, he didn't see that he had any bachram that would go stay by him or be with him, and he didn't understand why the person was such a balchein and a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So Reb Shlomo said that. He said that he spoke to a couple of his friends, and they decided they're going to ask this Talmud Chacham if they can come for Shabbos for Friday night. And they went to him, and the Talmud Chacham said, "B'kovah gadol." He was thrilled to have some company. So the Bachram went Friday night to eat by the Talmud Chacham, and it was beautiful. Shalom Aleichem, Kiddush, everything was beautiful. And at some point in the meal. He said to his wife, that he's ready to have his glass of beer. If you knew Reb Shlomo Feifel, the Reb Shlomo said over the whole thing, it was very, very colorful. Shlomo said that he said, "I'm ready for my beer." And the wife started to get nervous. And she said, I forgot, I was so busy, Erev Shabbos, something, I forgot to get the beer. So Reb Shlomo said, he started to pound on the table. Like an animal. "Where's my beer? Where's my..." He was screaming and started pounding the table and the candles and started to yell that "you forgot my beer." And Reb Shlomo said that they just benched quickly the guys and they walked out. He was still yelling. And when they came to the yeshiva, so on Shabbos morning, Reb Shlomo said that he saw Reb Hutner. He saw the yeshiva. And Reb Hutner said, "Now you understand why people don't go to him." Did you see it? You understand why. It's Balkas. He had everything else going for him. But he wasn't an ish matzliach. Just like this mice with the Shabina Rav. Kevin Shabbalach Balkas. I'll call upon him Kas who mida grua. We know that with Seichel. The Kas is a mida grua. It's terrible. The Chodom lava deleha. And you know, your whole life you could work on it. You just have to think about how ugly it is and how terrible it is and the damage that it causes. Okay, that's the mahalach. Sorry, that's the mahalach of how to work on the midah of kas. We try to use our seichel and try to work on it. But there's a different way of working on it. But it's only going to be in the life of a neshamadik person. According to the Zohar Kodesh and the Svar Makadosh, Hatam Shekas Chomer Kolkach Humachmes Inyan Achir. Why is it that in the Kabbalah Svarim, in the Zohar in the Kabbalah Svarim, Kas is more horrible than any Aveira? Sof Kol Sof, it really doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, it doesn't say anywhere specifically and clearly in the Torah you can, not to get angry. There are psukim, there are many psukim that describe the angry person and so on. But there's no specific lav, there's no negative commandment, there's no lo yisese, there's no lav in the Torah that prohibits getting angry in a clear way. The Rishonim learn it out from different psukim, it's hinted at. But we have a Torah that's filled with all kinds of mitzvahs and all kinds of lav and all kinds of averes. And yet we find that in the Zohar Kodesh and the Kabbalah Sfarim, that kaz is oilal kulona. Kaz is the worst thing in the world. Why? So we understand, again, we understand with seichel what happens to us when we become angry and how we become distorted and how we become silly. But in the Zohar Kodesh and in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, we learn what is it about kaz. What is it about kaz that makes it so horrible, more horrible than anything else? The Mavur B'Zohar HaKadosh, on page 7, on the left-hand side. The Mavur B'Zohar HaKadosh, Shehadam Tzarech Liyos Tomid B'Madrega Misuyemes Shel Dveikus. Now you have to remember, the Zohar HaKadosh is speaking to the deepest part of who we are. And the Zohar HaKadosh, in every word, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is addressing our neshamas. And Rabbi Shimon is constantly encouraging us to be the people that we were created to become. The tachlis of a Jew's life is uvo sidbag, is dveikus b'Hashem. Each and every one of us has been wired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has been programmed to be able to ultimately reach a madrega of dveikus b'Hashem, of living in a state of attachment to Hashem. That means thinking about God all the time. Being God conscious every moment of life. That's the tachlis of our being in this world. Dveikus b'Hashem. L'sa'anig al Hashem, as Ramchal says. To delight in that awareness of God's presence. That's the tachlis. Now, it's understood, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai understood that more than anyone, that not everybody is able to live in that constant state of dveikus. But it's what we aspire to. And at some level, the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, as everybody knows, is Shivisa Hashem L'Negdi Samed. On the most basic level, to at least feel God's presence at every moment in life, to think about the fact that I'm in His presence. That's the aleph of being a Jew. It's the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Shivi Seshem Nagdi Savit. Okay, Pamba Madrega Gedarli Yosef Shul Dveikus, Oba Madrega Ketanu Shul Dveikus. Fine. There are higher levels of Dveikus, the Big Tzaddikim, like it says in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, that the Rambam brings from the Rambam, that the Big Tzaddikim are constantly walking in God's presence, and they live in such a way of God consciousness every second. There are high madrigas and there are low madrigas. Aval tamid muchrach shiyeh bedveikus bekeshem l'suyim al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at every moment of a person's life, there must be a minimal awareness of Hashem is Baruch. There must be at least a trace of dveikus, something of dveikus, if not, then what distinguishes a Jew, Chalila, from someone who's not Jewish? It's the Tachlis, without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. U'lezeh muchrach shiyeh tamid miyushev b'daitai. Now, in order for a person to be conscious of Hashem's Baruch, a person first has to live in a state of consciousness, of awareness, of consciousness. And he must want God to be part of his life, and he must actively try to think of that. Again, there are different madrigas. He's talking about even the simplest Jew, even people like us. Aleph. That's the aleph of being a Jew. To have presence of mind and to think that Hashem is Baruch is here with me. We tell that to our children. And there's no reason we shouldn't be telling it to ourselves all the time. afilu me'inu b'madrega g'dol kol kashal tveikis. V'komakom olav l'hachshiv esam'at tveikis she'yesh lo. Still, a person has to be machshiv, at least whatever that awareness is. It's very, very chashiv, it's very important. And we're supposed to try to develop that through the course of our lives.
U'v'zor kodesh m'chiyach zayis midavra melech. Sha'af kishahoy b'masav shofel.
Now, David HaMelech and his Madrega, we know, went through different times in his life. And there was a point in his life when he was very, very low. Again, on David HaMelech's level, he was in a very, very low place.
And Hichshiv Ma'edis at Tevekis and Mu'atisha Hayalai. Mizmul Adovar Hashem Ra'ilai Echsa Gam Ki Eilich the Gate Salmovis.
When David HaMelech said, even I walk in the Gate Salmovis, in the valley of the shadow of death, he wasn't talking about physical, about anything physical. He was talking about where he was holding in Ruchnias. That feeling that David HaMelech had, ki ata imadi, even in the lowest place of my life, you're still here with me.
Shivise Hashem lenegdi samit, miyimini bal emai, ki miyimini bal emai.
That feeling of David HaMelech required a consciousness, required a presence of mind. Even when he went through the lowest times of his life, his son was trying to kill him. Chazal tells there was a time in his life where he was considering dropping all of Yiddishkeit and going to be an Eved Avodah Zarah. As shocking as it is to us, he was thinking of going away from everything. And he held on, ki ata imadi. You're with me, you're still with me. But that requires a presence of mind.
Ubezara Kaddish, Mochir Zeis and Dovda Melash Afkshahai Matsav Shafel, Hershi Ma'edis at the Vekas and Mu'at Shahela.
There was nothing that was more precious to David HaMelech, especially when he was going through a rough time, than that connection that he had. That he was still able to think about God. With everything, he was still able to have his mind on Hashem. So what is it about Kaas? Why is it that in the Zohar Kaddish, Kaas is the worst of all things? What is it about Kaas that makes it the most damaging of all the Midas? Because when a person is in a state of Kaas, when a person is angry, doesn't mean a little bit upset. When a person is mamish angry, loses his temper.
Ba'isha Adam hu b'kaz, hereni yochel li yais b'dveikas. B'kesha zeh,
when a person is angry, he loses his mind. He simply loses his mind. Any awareness of God, any consciousness, any thought that is meyushev, that's settled, is broken, is shattered by anger.
Shai nitrev daitimim, like we saw in the Ramchal explains, that Nitrev Daitim, he loses his mind. He literally loses his mind.
There are people who are otherwise rational, sensible, good people, who in a moment of anger will commit a horrible crime, a terrible crime. We've heard of such things. We know. I'm not talking about a person is crazy, or Stan is crazy, or Stan is, you know, saying a Jew that this a person that's a Rosh Marusha to say a Jew. There is such a thing, Hashem Yirachim. But we're talking about a person who's a good person, who otherwise is a kind person, and will do something in a fit of anger. It's not just that it's out of character. It's like a totally different person. A completely different person.
So Nitrav Daitim Imenu.
The nimtza shahakoy is machshiv asahergish. What happens to the kohes, to the angry person? The angry person at that moment loses himself to that emotion of anger. He loses his mind.
V'ha'inyin hazeh shagarim lo liyos b'kaas,
that whatever it is that's causing him to get angry, from a small little thing like whatever, the child drops something on the clean carpet, or to a big thing, something, whatever it is. Whatever that inyin is, It has occupied and taken over the person's emotions completely.
That's what happens at a time of anger. The person's mind and heart become occupied by an enemy, by a certain type of energy that has no resemblance to the person himself. And it doesn't leave any space in his mind to hold on to Yishuv HaDa'as, to hold on to the thought of God. B'kitzer, that inyan has taken over God's place in the person's mind. Now we understand. That's why Chazal tell us that a kores, when a person is angry, it's ki'ilu. He's worshipping an idol. It's ki'ilu. Because at that moment, this inyan that's upsetting him was able to push Hashem out of his mind. Was able to completely take over the person's thoughts and emotions that should be filled to one degree or another, higher or lower, but to be filled with Hashem. And you know what happens when there's anger? That thing takes over your whole life. It's like there's nothing else that exists except that thing. And afterwards, when you look back, you can't believe that it happened. But at the moment of anger, there's nothing else. So in a mashal called Tzorach, it's a kibbutz shalom, not every bunch of shalom, come with shemach shev es inyin hazeh, shemach es esay. V'chumus inyin hakaas, v'nei shemach nis atzma l'matzev ha-nefesh, Shabo any yochli is dovek b'Hashem v'lach shemino. In the Zohar Kaddish and in the Svarim Kaddish, that's why anger is the most dangerous of all midas, because it undermines the purpose of a Jew's existence, which is dveikus b'Hashem. It replaces Hashem with some stupidity or some insanity, so you can't think of him. I mean, mainly you understand that even though that child is a child that you adore and that you love, and you would in a moment give your life for that child, but when you lose your temper with the child, you become completely detached from him. You separate from the child completely. Even though when your seichel is there, and when you're in a place of consciousness and awareness, that child occupies your entire life. I myself have seen families where there are children who are physically and emotionally abused, and in that very same home where the child is subjected to horrible, horrible violence and abuse, he's also the object of outpouring of affection and love. You ask Akasha, you ask the mother, you love your child, you're crazy about your child. Yeah, there isn't anything she wouldn't do for the child. But when there's a kaas, when she loses herself, so the very one who she is sincerely davuk to, she's sincerely davuk, dvukam, she's bound to her child with her soul. But then suddenly something takes over like a dibbuk. Dibbuk is the same letters as Dveikus. Dibbuk means something instead of Dveikus Hashem. What's a dibbuk? So a dibbuk. So you talk about dibbukim from the, you know, the stories of the, these, you know, some demonic force that comes from and enters into a person. Forget about that stuff. That's finished. We don't have that anymore. Dibbukim. The last, you know, was by the Chavos Chaim. There was a mice. We don't have any more dibbukim. I mean, there are many, many crazy people who think they have dibbukim, but there's no such thing as a dibbuk anymore. There was, not now. But dibbuk means when you're supposed to be dovuk, glued and bound to Hashem, and instead there's something that takes over. It's no longer Hashem. There's an anti-force inside that takes over. So the very same mother or father who's dovuk to the child, at a time of anger, it's like a dibbuk, and the child is so confused. These are the same people who are showering me with love and taking care of me and buying me presents and kissing me and hugging me. And the very same people, the very same person, is the one who I'm most fearful of and I'm hiding from and cowering from. And in many cases, Hashem Yirachem, suffering physically and emotionally from the same people. What happened? You asked the parent, what happened to you? A dibbuk. A dibbuk. A Jew is supposed to be dovuk to Hashem. Dveikus b'Hashem, dveikus to our loved ones, which is a chelik of dveikus to Hashem, fills one's mind and one's heart. And then there's no room for any dibukim to come in. If a person has a dibuk, it's the antithesis of being a Jew. It's the opposite of God consciousness. You don't need some kind of a demon. It's yourself. That's scary. When a person's angry, he removes himself from that, from those Dalet Amos, from that world of Dveikus Bashem. Next page, I think it's 8. Baal ze omar akosuv, and regarding this it says in Tilum, Rosh ha-kegoyva apoy bal yidro ish ena lukim kol mizim ha-yisof. That Rosh ha-kegoyva apoy, when the Rosh ha, when the wicked person, when his anger rises within him, bal yidro ish ena lukim, there's no God. Ein Elokim. Shayidei tigbaris kaso en yochel lachshav meher ben shalom. When a person loses himself, he simply can't think about God. V'tzarech adam shiachshav es hakesher shleim Hashemesh b'akol kach. This is what the Zohar is telling us. That kesher that a person has with Hashem has to be so important to a person. Has to be so important. That kesher that I have, the relationship that I have with Hashem, the dveikus that I have to Hashem has to be more important to me than whatever that inyan is, that the person was late or that something got broken, whatever it is. The dveikus to Hashem, my relationship to Hashem, has to be more important than that inyan that caused me to get angry. A person who lives, again, we're not talking here about how to rationally fight with kaz. Because you know the b'shas ma'isa, you become irrational. And all of the methods to fight with kaz, as important as they are, and not that they should be discounted, they're very, very hard to apply long-term to changing a person's life. But a person who lives, Misha Chai Ba'ifa Na'ala Umarumam, but a person who lives a life that is Na'ala, that is exalted, that's a higher way of thinking, a higher way of living, Hai Kol Avadosa Lakas, Hu Ba'ifa Na'achalagambe. The way to work with Kas is completely different. Because you have to get out of that whole dimension of kaas. You have to get out of that world. Out of that way. Kaas is a way of life. Even though it happens only occasionally, some people more, some people less, but it's all part of that world. It's part of that world where there's something in the world that is more important to me than my Yishev Adas and my Dveikus Bashem and my being a person who thinks of God. And that higher way of living should tamid b'masal shel dveikus habayit. That's living a life where a person thinks about Hashem. A life of dveikus habayit. Again, there are different madregas. But living in a way where a person stops throughout the course of the day, every now and then, and tries to be in a regular way through the day, thinking about Hashem. Thinking about Shivis Hashem Nagbi Samit, Dveikus Habari. Then Yochel Harshes Latsim Lias Bekas. Such a person can't allow himself to be Bekas, to get angry. Doesn't get started. Again, this is a high madrega. We can only try to, each person in his or her own way, to try to somehow become more of this kind of a person. And we saw this by tzaddikim, that no matter what matzav the tzaddik was in, hayim liyushavim bedaitam ad lema'oid, that they never lost the yeshiva das. I'm reading now a very interesting biography of the Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha. The Chazon Ish had in his personal life terrible, terrible yisurim. He had a wife who wasn't well. And then that's not going to be written up in the usual English biographies that come out. But he had a wife that was not well. He was a person that was, throughout all of the years of his marriage, he was battered and abused by a woman who was not well. It's not a secret. It's just they try to make it a secret, but it's not a secret. And the godless, you see, they why wouldn't they write that in the typical biographies? Because in some way that takes away, they think that takes away from the perfection of the Chazon Ish. How come he didn't have a perfect wife? Well, the truth is that I'm much more inspired by the fact that the Chazon Ish lived like that for so many years, and he was always unbelievably kind to his wife. Never, ever spoke to her in a harsh way. And the things that she used to say, in the Svarim sometimes it says that there was one of the members of his household who did this and did that, but he'll never say his wife, never. But the whole thing's covered up, like many of these books, it just covers like everything was perfect, everything was fine. Akedah kach, that there was such things going on that the people heard on the street, he used to have to talk to people through the window because she didn't want people to come into the apartment. He used to have to open the window, and he sometimes himself would climb in and climb out through the window. They saw that in Bnei Brak, it wasn't a secret. He lived like that. His sister took care of him, not his wife. The last 10, 11 years of his life, it was impossible. But he never, ever, ever lost himself. He was the Chazon Ish, the same Chazon Ish. There was a whole big asifa once. I don't know how it happened. It was in his apartment. Maybe she wasn't supposed to be there or something. There was a whole asifa, and all the biggest rabbanim were there. And she comes into the room, and insults and words that were coming out from her mouth and screaming and yelling and everybody just sat there and they put their head down and how the Chazon Ish spoke to her. It's unbelievable. So I find that the most inspiring thing of all, the greatness of the Chazon Ish. Big people like that. Maybe I remember years ago, I myself was embarrassed. This goes back almost 30 years ago. I took a group on Purim, I took a group of my Talmidim to go to a certain place where there was a mesibah for Purim, and the Rosh Hashiva was talking a little bit, saying some Torah, and there was some bochum that were singing in the back or something, making some noise. This Rosh Hashiva started yelling and screaming and pushing the table and carrying on, and I know that I looked at the boys like they looked like, what's this? You know, they never stood up by their fathers. Such a temper, such an anger. And honestly, it's not so nice, but to this day, I it's very hard for me. Even though I'm not anything, I'm a worm compared to him, but it's hard for me to look at that person. And it takes away the whole tzelem elokim. That's what it does. It destroys the demus and the tzelem of a person. The tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, they live in another world. That no matter what's going on around them, like the Chazon Ish, no matter what's going on around, and remember, the Chazon Ish didn't have any children. Had a sad life. Personally, he had a very hard life. Still in Europe, he was married for already many years, and he asked his wife to accept the get, and she said to him that I'll accept the get. They lived in Vilna, but I'll take the get. But when I walk over the bridge to come back to over here, I'm going to jump off the bridge. And after that, the Chazon Ish never spoke about it again. He lived his life like that all the years. He never spoke about it. Such abuse, it's hard to believe. Again, even as I'm saying this, if this is going to be in a tape, there are going to be people who say it's not true, so it's 100% true. It's 100% true. But the greatness of the Chazon Ish was that with that, he lived in a place that was higher than anything. We know from the Yidda Kaddish, so that Tzadikim, but not Tali Rapshah, so that Tzadikim, we have many stories that it wasn't able to be hidden because it went out into the streets and everybody heard different things, you know. But the tzaddik, the trademark of the tzaddik is that whatever that is, it's not more important than his dveikus Hashem, than living in that place of shevisa Hashem lenegdi somed. And I'm not giving up God because of whatever insult I'm hearing right now, or whatever disappointment I'm feeling in my life. It's a very high madrega. That's the madrega of the tzaddikim, where it says at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, ha-halchim are walking constantly in the presence of God. Ha-mishalchim, those who are mishalchim, lifnei Hashem, that they live with Hashem every moment. They don't allow anything in their lives to replace God. That's really what the Zohar Kodesh is talking about. It's a very high madrega. It's a very high madrega. Shebechol matzav shu hayim yishavim bedaitim ad lama'oid. Ad lama'oid. Complete yishav adaz. V'tomet hayu oimdim b'kesher mesuyim im harabayim shalom. And they live constantly in a kesher with the Rabbanim Shalom, the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And they never ever were separated. They wouldn't allow themselves to be unbound, to be taken away from Hashem. Which is a level of dveikus that the Zohar talks about. To be one with Hashem. There are obviously many, many madregas with this. There are many madregas. It's with all the midas, but just a small example here of gaiva, conceit. Again, one can struggle and wrestle with the midah of conceit. To try to think of all different cheshbainas in seichel pashit, to humble yourself. Could go in dami ayin bas, like it says in the Mishnah, think about where do you come from, la'ana tahalech, where you're going to end up in the grave, and so on. I mean, there are thoughts that we have, and there are many psukim, and many chazals that we could all hold on to, and other ways of thinking that would humble us. Again, using seichel, we can go after the mid of gaiva. We can fight with gaiva. But if a person thinks more deeply, again, we're talking about a different way. The shayrish of the midah of gaiva, the root of the midah of gaiva, nirashuhu atziyir hagashmi, sha'odim etzai la'atzma yeshani, vesanoichi is shaloi. What is gaiva? Gaiva means that a person, let's say, had some hatzlacha. Whatever, he made a deal. Or whatever the hatzlacha is. Whatever that hatzlacha is, could be with intelligence, with panosa, with attractiveness, whatever that inyan is, where the person is successful, and he takes that siur, that image, that picture of whatever that success is, and he builds with that a sense of ani, this is me, I, of the ego. Nirashud atzir hagashmis, but it's the most physical. It's the most physical and base and absurd seer of a person. What do you mean? You're a balgaiva because you're smarter than the next guy? Who do you think gave you your seichel? Because you look better in that. You look better in that shetel than the next girl. Who do you think gave you your appearances? The whole thing is all about. It's all about a gashmi is dike evaluation of the self. That's all it is. It's from that perspective of gashmias. Nirishu hatsir hagashmi shaladim etzayil atzma sa'ani vesanoichi yishalai. Va'ani zeshul adim shemetsuyu etzlo vetsiyu mesuyam. The picture that he has of himself, that portrait of himself, that is a portrait that's completely based upon all of these gashmias dike things. Lefimash etzir aguf. That is the root of all gaiva. And from that, the person tries to make a bigger, bigger thing about the ani of who he is. Therefore, he feels good about himself when he's whatever greatness he's achieved. It's like he's worshipping and serving and bowing down to that seer, to that image of himself, which is an image of this world. When a person is an ish neshama, when a person is an neshamadik, a person, as I'm in Malin, this battle etzel kalamusik shalha ani against a madrega. But there are levels of this avoid. We're not talking about the ultimate. The ultimate is very, very, it's a big tzaddik. But there are levels. And the most basic level is that a person realizes, what does it mean? The hamusig of me. Of who am I? What did I? What is it for me, myself? Everything that I have is from Hashem is Baruch. What's the ani? And the fact that he was so enamored with himself, he was just enamored with some dimyut, with some fantasy or some image of himself. Who is he really? Not how he presents and how is he compared to other people. Doesn't, it's not in the mitzvahs. When a person comes into the place of the neshama, then there's only one who you compare yourself to, and that's Hashem's Baruch. And in Hashem's presence, a person is bottled. Who is it? What is it? Mi anoichi? What am I? That's all. Because that's in the world of the neshama, in that world of emes, everything is Hashem. So who am I? K'may chayin hu bekame inyonim madregis, hakol holech el makom echad. She'ikra ha'avayda, u'shiyyeh ha'odam ish neshama u'bal ha'saga elokis. Now what we're going to learn, Mitzvah, what we're going to begin learning next week is how when Hashem Yisbal gave us the Torah, the way that He gave us the Torah was when we understand this Avaida, when we look back at Maimed Har Sinai and Matan Torah, we'll see that Hashem Yisbal gave us the Torah in this way. When He told us that you're going to be a Mamleches Kaihan V'Goy Kodesh, a Mamleches Kaihan V'Goy Kodesh, He was teaching us a way of how to serve Him in that way of being Anshei Neshama, people of the Neshama. That's the chachil of how to serve Him. And we're going to see how that would continue and would be picked up again over the years. It got mixed in with many other things. But then the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the whole Derech HaBaal Shem Tov is built upon that path. So Neshama will continue next time.